The scripture reading today will be from Luke chapter 6, verses 22 and 23. Luke 6, 22, 23. I'll be reading from the New American Standard Bible. Blessed are you when men hate you and ostracize you and insult you and scorn your name as evil for the sake of the Son of Man. Be glad in that day and leap for joy. Behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way their fathers used to treat the prophets.
These verses that we just read remind us of the reality of Christian suffering. There's a lot of suffering in the world. A lot of suffering we see in the lives of people in different countries, people all around us, suffering for different reasons, but suffering as a Christian is a special kind of suffering. And it's our focus this morning as we think about this idea of the joy of suffering. Because although that may seem a little strange to talk about the joy of suffering, that's where looking at it from the Christian perspective is necessary. Because in Christ Jesus and living as a child of God, it brings to us a different perspective in life than all other people. And what happens to us in terms of suffering for the cause of Christ can be viewed and should be viewed from a different way, a different mindset than we would look at other types of suffering in our lives. Jesus, the apostles, and the early Christians, all of whom we read about in the scriptures, suffered for doing right, living right, teaching what was right. And all of that suffering was in the cause of righteousness, doing the will of the Father. And when we suffer like that, there is cause for joy. There's reason to not be discouraged or overwhelmed by the suffering itself, but rather focus on what comes about as a result of the suffering. And of course, it's always been this way. We read in Hebrews 11, verses 35 through 37, speaking about people of faith who've lived through the ages. The writer says, women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trials of mockings and scourgings. Yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. This is a picture of suffering. Suffering as a servant of the Lord. Suffering even though you're doing right and living right before the Lord. That happens. And that might seem strange and unusual or unfair to someone who's trying to live for the Lord. Why should I have to suffer if I'm doing everything right? And yet, that's the way it is in this life. It's a part of God's plan. And it actually brings about good for us. There is joy to be found in suffering. In fact, we're reminded in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12 that suffering is the way of faithful Christian living. Yes, we're told, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution, 2 Timothy 3:12. And yet, despite all of the places where we are shown in the Scriptures of good people suffering, we have repeatedly that suffering connected with joy. So this morning, as we talk about this subject, we're going to be looking at the various ways in which we can find certain types of joy in the suffering that we have to go through in this life as Christians. And the first thing we'll talk about this morning is the joy of reward. And we see that in the verse that we read, the two verses the beginning of the lesson, Luke 6, verses 22 and 23. So Jesus is speaking to His followers. Here are those who are, some of them still thinking in terms of an earthly kingdom, a rise to power, We're going to have things great like in the days of Solomon. It's a different kind of kingdom. They need to understand what they're going to go through. And Jesus says to them, "Blessed are you when men hate you, when they exclude you and revile you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake." So here are four things that are mentioned that have to do with suffering as a disciple of Jesus Christ. And again, all of these things are in the line of duty. You're doing them for Christ. You're serving Christ and you're suffering these things. People hate you. You are a person that to them is, like Paul describes elsewhere, the offscouring of the earth. You're scum. That's how they consider you. Their hearts are completely against you. He talks about being an excluded group of people. You are excluded. So you are not counted as the rest in the group. You're an outcast. You're not wanted. You are discarded. And that's what you're going to have to suffer for Christ Jesus. You will be reviled by some people. And your name, people will associate your name with evil, even though you are living a life that is a light to the world. You will be considered and associated with evil. That's like people today. You stand up for what is right. You hold to the truths, the moral and ethical standards of God's Word. And in our culture and society, you hold to those truths and you will be looked at as an evil person that is filled with hate. When in fact, because of your love, you speak the truth, trying to show men their sins, to call them to salvation through Jesus Christ. The joy is not being hated, excluded, reviled, or having your name cast out as evil. But the joy is found in the reward that will follow in the end. When Jesus says, when all these things happen, rejoice in that day and leap for joy. For indeed your reward is great in heaven. For in like manner their fathers did to the prophets. So he's telling us, don't think this is something unusual. This is new. People have been suffering this for a long time. They've done it to your forefathers, to your brethren in days gone by. They have also suffered these things. As Christians, we cannot be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. We cannot be timid. We cannot be people who will not say what needs to be said because we don't want these things to happen. Jesus says they're going to happen. You've got to be faithful. And when they do happen, because of your faithfulness, leap for joy. Why? Because it feels good to be hated? No. Because reward is coming to you. There's a promise here. And that promise is absolutely certain. We cannot escape the suffering. All who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. If I'm not suffering some sort of persecution, something is wrong, and maybe I'm not living the righteous life that's shining as a bright light before those around me. Perhaps I'm not saying what needs to be said, and therefore I don't run into any problems. That's the easy road. It's the broad road that leads to destruction. We have to not only have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but we're told we must expose them, Paul said, to the church in Ephesus. Furthermore, we read in Acts 5 and verse 41, our brethren who were despised and rejected, who were persecuted, they left the presence of the council. This was the faithful apostles who were doing the work of the Lord. And as a result of what had happened on that occasion, they did what? Rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for His name. So here is a living example of people who gloried in, they rejoiced in the suffering that befell them. Jesus had told them this. And when they found themselves suffering for His name, They were happy, they were glad, they rejoiced. Not because they felt good about the suffering, the affliction that was cast upon them, but rather what it resulted in. They were in the group of those who were special, in that they were willing to go through suffering to be associated with Christ, to stand with Him, to demonstrate faithfulness and loyalty. And because, no doubt, they were looking toward the reward that awaits those who live this way. Peter says in 1 Peter 4, verse 12 and 13, "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy." So here again, suffering is normal, he says. Don't think it's strange. But when you suffer it, remember, you can be happy because you're associating with Christ. He suffered. You're right in there with Him. And one day when He is glorified, you'll also be glorified with Him. This relates to the reward. A part of the reward is the glorification in addition to the eternal life and all the blessings of heaven. There are many aspects of the reward that awaits us. This is what you have when you suffer for the Lord. Thus, there is joy in suffering because there's joy in the promised reward. But another aspect of joy in suffering relates to the joy of hope. Think of the words Jesus expressed in John chapter 16. When He was comforting His disciples, He had talked to them about the fact that they would suffer and that He was going to suffer, that He would actually leave them because of what was going to take place in His sacrifice. So He tells them there, beginning at verse 20, "Most assuredly I say to you that you will weep and lament at His departure," and specifically His death, "but the world will rejoice." See, they're going to be happy. This one that we despise, we've defeated Him. But then He tells them, "Your sorrow will be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. Therefore, you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice. And your joy no one will take from you." Jesus promises them a lasting joy. This is all tied to the hope that they would realize and hold on to through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He was going to die, and they would be sorrowful, but He was going to be brought back from the dead. God would raise Him, and He would live again. And because He lives, we also have the promise of being resurrected like He was resurrected, never to die again, to ascend to eternal life. That's our hope in Jesus Christ. So you can have hope even though there's suffering to be experienced, even though there's sadness sometimes. We can get through it because of the hope that we have of eternal life through Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, you'll turn over there with me for a moment. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 describes some of the suffering that the Apostle Paul himself and others that were with him went through, something that is going to be common to Christians. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, he says, beginning in verse 4, "But in all things we commend ourselves as ministers of God in much patience." Notice he mentions in tribulations, in needs, in distresses. This is the way of Christian living. Your toil and your labor involve hardships of various sorts. He goes on, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in fastings. And then, as he begins to describe the various contrasts and seeming contradictions, He shows the reality of living as a child of God. There are paradoxes. And so he says, by honor, verse 8, and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened, and yet not killed. And then he says, as sorrowful and yet rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing yet possessing all things. You see, there are, in a very real sense, ways in which we, living the Christian life, are sorrowful. Jesus was a man acquainted with sorrows, right? And yet, despite the fact that there are sorrows and sufferings and hardships related to the Christian life, yet he says, we are always rejoicing. Because what we are able to do as Christians is look beyond the present suffering and hardship to what lies ahead, the joy that comes to those who are willing to suffer, rejoicing because of the hope that we have through Jesus Christ, that one day all the darkness, the suffering, the hardship will be removed forevermore. And the promise of eternal life and the comfort and the rest from our labors and from the hardships that we must experience, that's all gone forevermore. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 6, Paul to the brethren there says, and you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit. Here were people who embraced the gospel. It brought affliction and suffering to them because this was a time in which Christians were persecuted people. How is it that people would obey the gospel, become Christians, join themselves, or rather be joined by God, choose to associate themselves and become a part of a people that is persecuted, that they can see these are people who are suffering. Why would you do that? Is it not because this is the only way to have hope? There's no hope outside of Christ. These people understood, and thus they chose to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. That's the realization of Moses, as we read in the book of Hebrews. Here were people who saw suffering is going to be a part of it, but we're going there because this is where salvation is. This is where hope is. There's joy in suffering because of the joy of the hope that comes to those who choose this life. But number three, there is joy. There's the joy of serving. The joy of serving. Just reflect for a moment about the life that is lived by the servants of Jesus Christ. And think about the Apostle Paul. Acts chapter 20 describes Paul's words to the elders of the church in Ephesus. Beginning at verse 17, Acts 20, beginning in verse 17, it says, from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. When they had come to him, he said to them, you know from the first day that I came to Asia in what manner I always lived among you, serving the Lord with all humility. Notice what he says, with many tears and trials, which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews. There's his suffering. One who's going to do the work of the Lord, to serve his brethren, to serve humanity, to serve the Lord. It's service that he's doing. And it says that he kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you. All of this is talking about the service that Paul rendered. He taught them publicly and from house to house, testifying to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul is preaching the gospel. It's an act of service. And he says now, and see, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. So Paul says, I have been suffering for the cause of Christ, in my service to the Lord, and I am going to suffer in the future. The Holy Spirit is telling me this. In my service to the Lord, I'm going to be suffering. Yet notice what he says. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy. Paul is running a race. It's a race that he wants to finish out full of joy because he has been able to serve the Lord, his brethren, people lost in the world by communicating the truth so that people will have the opportunity. So he's not worried about the suffering. He's told it's coming and he goes right into it. He's willing to suffer because he sees that his service is bringing about a radical transformation to the lives of people, giving them hope, saving souls. There's the joy of service because of what that means. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, the Apostle Paul again begins to recount things relating to what he has done with his life and his serving his brethren. Beginning in verse 1, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Open your hearts to us. We have wronged no one. We have corrupted no one. We have cheated no one. I do not say this to condemn, for I have said before that you are in our hearts to die together and to live together. Great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my boasting on your behalf. I am filled with comfort. I am exceedingly joyful in all our tribulation. Notice what Paul is saying. As one who serves you and serves the Lord, I am exceedingly joyful in all our tribulations. For indeed, when we came to Macedonia, our bodies had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Outside were conflicts, inside were fears. Nevertheless, God, who comforts the downcast, comforted us by the coming of Titus. How did comfort, how was it brought to Paul? It says, and not only by his coming, but also by the consolation with which he was comforted in you when he told us of your earnest desire, your mourning, your zeal for me, so that I rejoiced even more. Paul was comforted in the news that was brought to him concerning the spiritual state of these Christians. This was not a perfect congregation, a group of people in the city of Corinth, plagued with problems. But they were, this is the second epistle, responsive to his first epistle. They were responsive to the rebuke, to the chastisement, to the correction. And thus their penitent hearts and their ways of coming back to God brought joy to the Apostle Paul. His life was serving other people. And in that service, he could see the good that was being accomplished. Souls were being added to the church, and wayward Christians were being brought back to the Lord. And thus, in the service, there was all kinds of suffering. He mentions it here in this context, the tribulation that he went through. And yet, comfort was there. Paul is saying, all of these things that we're going through for you are worth it because you are turning to the Lord with all your heart. Service. There's joy in service because of the good that it does. God's word does not return to him void. Great things happen when we step forth and we say to the Lord, here am I, send me, like Isaiah. Paul, in Philippians 2, verses 17 and 18 says, yes, and if I am being poured out as a drink offering, on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. For the same reason, you also be glad and rejoice in me. Paul speaks about his death, soon to come. And yet, here's a man in prison at this time as he writes these words. And he says, if this is going to happen, if I'm poured out as a drink offering, if I'm going to die in the sacrifice of Christ and the service of your faith, I'm glad. And I rejoice with you all. And I want you to be happy for me. I want you to rejoice in it. Because this is all for your good. service, though it is fraught with suffering, is not absent of joy because of the good things that we accomplish for others. The joy of saving souls, restoring souls, is a joyous thing to be involved in. Colossians 1 and verse 24, I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of His body, which is the church. Again and again, there is joy to be found in service. Think of the Christians in the region of Macedonia. Christians who were in poverty. How did they find joy? In serving their fellow Christians. Listen. Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. In other words, these people were filled with joy because they were generous to give so that they might serve the needs of their fellow Christians, their brethren. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints, and not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. 2 Corinthians 8, verses 1 through 5. A group of people that found tremendous joy in serving by giving to others, seeing their needs and stepping in to help. There's joy in service, even though, as it says here, they were in the midst of great trial of affliction. But they focused instead of on what they were suffering, on the opportunity to do for others, and found great joy in that. And then there's the great joy of care that can be found in the midst of suffering. The Apostle Paul, as we said when he wrote the book of Philippians, was in prison. And being in prison, you know, that's a place where you do suffer various things. Yet Paul in Philippians 1, beginning in verse 3, says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Paul remembered these brethren, prayed for them, made requests for them with all joy because, he said, of the fellowship that they had together in the gospel. What had these brethren done? What was this fellowship in the gospel? Fellowship, you remember, carries the meaning of joint participation. They, together with the Apostle Paul, were involved in this work and aided him. Though he's in prison, they were meeting his needs. What Paul saw from them was care. If you go to this same book, chapter 4 and verse 10, Paul says, But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again. Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Once and again, the church at Philippi stepped in to aid the Apostle Paul. Though he's in the midst of suffering, though he's imprisoned, yet he finds joy because his brethren stepped in with care, compassion, meeting his needs. You see, we can find joy in suffering because there are caring Christians that step in and show us, I love you, you're my brother, you're my sister in Christ, I'm here for you in various ways. God doesn't leave us suffering by ourselves. There's joy in care. And finally, there is the joy of growth. James says in James 1, verses 2 and 3, My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Here's something that God says to us. You might have to suffer trials. Trials relate to the idea of suffering. But He says, when that happens, count it all joy. Because here's what you need to realize. When you go through trials, it's an opportunity for spiritual growth, for advancement. He says specifically here that the testing of your faith produces patience. This is the endurance. This is the image of the man who presses, pushes his body to its physical limits because he's trying to attain greater strength, greater endurance. When you as a child of God faithfully serve God and the trials begin to come, that's not time to step back and say no more. That's the time to say, I will keep going. I will never give up, because those trials make you stronger and increase your faith in the Lord. The Apostle Paul found this truth in his own life, and the Holy Spirit led him to write concerning this event, this suffering in his life. 2 Corinthians 12, beginning in verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect or complete in weakness. Therefore, Paul says, most gladly I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. There is joy in suffering because growth is tied to suffering, as Paul shows us here. All of the various types of ways that Paul suffered would lead to his own spiritual advancement, his own growth and development as a Christian, making him that much stronger to resist future trials and future tests, and also enabling him to be a comforter of those who would go through such things themselves. Paul would urge them on as he had gained strength through the Lord in suffering, growing in the process. And so, the joy of suffering is not in the pain. It's not in the being hated, being cast off, being rejected, all of those things suffered in the flesh, in the mind, but rather the joy of suffering is found in the fruit of that suffering. It's found in all of these things, the reward, the hope, the serving, the care, and the growth that are tied to suffering. It all depends upon our response to that suffering and seeing from the spiritual perspective the good to be gained from it. And so for the child of God, suffering for the Lord's sake is not a thing to be ashamed of or a thing to look at negatively, but rather to see what you can gain from it, and to realize that yes, in Christ Jesus, there is truly and literally joy in suffering. For one who's not yet a Christian, suffering, in a final, eternal sense, is what we have in our future, something that God wants us to spare us from. But that can be removed through one means and one means alone, through Christ Jesus. Turning to Him in faith and in allowing Him to remove your sin, lift the burdens that you bear, and show you how to live so that life eternal will be yours. Beginning with faith in Jesus Christ, followed by an acknowledgement of sin and turning away from it with a penitent heart. An acknowledgement of faith, or confessing our belief in Jesus Christ and being immersed, baptized for the remission of our sins, is the plan that God has demonstrated in His Word, or shown us in His Word, that leads us or brings us into His family. Those are the conditions, the terms that allow us to enter into the kingdom, be a part of the family of Christ. Faith, repentance, confession, baptism. But then after the sins are washed away and we become a part of God's family, this is the beginning of our journey. It's the beginning of our walk. The rest of our lives are filled with doing His will. And the rest of our lives will be filled with, at times, suffering of various sorts. He can help you with that. And only in Christ Jesus does suffering take on this positive connotation. And that's where we can see the real joy that there is in suffering. If you as a Christian are going through hard times and you need the encouragement of your brethren, of the prayers of the church, or if you've wandered from the fold and your sins are a burden to you, realize that you can come back to the Lord this morning. Realize that He's ready and waiting to forgive you and wants to receive you. And if you need to come and respond to the Lord's invitation, we encourage you to do that at this time as we stand and sing.